Previously on Chunky Infant Ghost Stories.
President Boyd K. Packer's uplifting true ghost story that teaches us about the next life.
At the rededication of the Logan Temple in 1979, I recounted this.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Chunky Infant Ghost Stories.
Chunky Infant Ghost Stories.
Welcome back to Chunky Infant Ghost Stories. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and honestly, I really don't know what I was thinking when I publicly committed to make 31 of these things for every day of October. I was really bored that day. Anyway, but my nephews now are totally hooked on it. So what am I going to do? Watch. Hey, Brody, Tate, ready? Poop. See? All right. So I'm going to keep trying to do these as much as I can. We finished up the Oxenholm story from LDS Living magazine. I was going to do this Boyd K. Packer ghost story from the same magazine, but it's just so lame. I tried and I can't. It wasn't interesting. So here is a blog post that I found, posted in 2012, someone named Jet Boy from the Millennial Star, and it's entitled, Some Mormon Ghost Stories. Yeah, that's menacing, right? Let's see how menacing this tame milk toast oatmeal Mormon ghost story is. When leaves start turning bright colors of amber and orange, and occasionally the first snow falls, it's that time of year again. It's the end of October. Ghosts, ghouls, strange beings, and killers walk the street. Kids laugh and candy is handed out as if grown on trees. You guessed it. Halloween has arrived. I have to admit that Thanksgiving is a good day of rest and food, while Christmas is exciting and special. Halloween, on the other hand, has its own pleasures. For once, those who are imaginative and don't see the world the same way as others can let loose. Dressing up and acting like a fool or other is just plain fun. With these thoughts having been expressed, I will be writing about two themes for this time of scares and spooks. The first post is about ghosts and otherworldly frights. The word is frights. Mormonism is full of stories about angels leaving messages and spirits roaming the world. Despite, or even because of that, there aren't too many ghost stories passed along in its history. Part of this could be the specific teachings related to the afterlife and those who hang around. There are only two reasons theologically recognized why a visitor from the other side of the veil of life is seen: to leave a message from the Lord, or demons tormenting mortals. There are plenty of stories about both. One of the first Mormon stories in history is of an evil possession during the first vision and an exorcism years later. Not many probably put the former in the category of ghost story, but it can fit into the genre. These are great starts for the subject of Mormon spooky tales. Every Mormon knows that Joseph was troubled by the many Christian religions he saw around him and wanted to know the truth. He read from the Bible and conducted after reading James to ask the Lord what religion to join. After working to clear a field, he went deep into the forest and prayed. Before the divine, capital D, divine manifestations, there was a struggle with an evil spirit. After I had retired to the place where I had previously designed to go. Really? He's using this as a ghost story? My gosh. Having looked around me, yada yada yada, first vision story, my beloved son, hear him. Regardless of the powerfully religious ending from History of the Church, Chapter 1, this could come out of a Nathaniel Hawthorne story. Uh-huh. That's equally as true.
The forest is filled with benevolent spirits, where only the grace of God can save the possessed soul. A heart is purified, while shadows and destruction vanquished. That's a terrible ghost story. Soon after the LDS Church was organized, Joseph Smith went to visit his friend Joseph Knight during the month of April. When he and a few others arrived, the son Newell Knight became possessed by an evil spirit during spiritual conversations and prayer. Joseph expelled the demon, as told in History of the Church, Volume 1, pages 82 through 3. Among those who attended our meetings regularly was Newell Knight, son of Joseph Knight. He and I had many serious conversations in the important subject of man's eternal salvation. We had got into the habit of praying much at our meetings, and Newell said that he would try to take up his cross and pray vocally during the meeting. But when we again met together, he rather excused himself. I tried to prevail upon him, making use of the figure, supposing that he should get into a mud hole. Would he not try to help himself out? Yada, yada, yada. He was possessed by evil spirits. We cast them out by the Spirit of God. There's another ghost story for you. Man, these are real Mormon ghost stories. Jeez. There was a report of this by Abner Cole in the Reflector newspaper. I can't do this. I can't do it. I want to. There aren't enough good ghost stories to do Chunky Infant ghost stories, and I don't have time to make up more. Yeah. This experiment is over. Chunky Infant ghost stories is dead. That's the ghost story for you. The death of Chunky Infant Ghost Stories. Ooh. Sorry to disappoint you. Maybe this will help. Brody, Tate, Poop.
Thank you for listening to...